Our scripture lesson today is from the New Testament, the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, and verses 9 through 18. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually, we are members one of another. Let love be genuine. Let hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be arrogant, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
As I said earlier, we are concluding our series on baptism this morning with words from Paul about how we are transformed as followers of Jesus Christ. We emerge from the waters of baptism as new people, as children of God, secure in the love and grace that has and continues to surround us. Paul provides guidelines of behavior for us, so as we emerge, we are grounded as new creatures in Christ. Furthermore, these characteristics are not just ones we embrace as individuals, but they are ones that we live out together in covenant community as the body of Christ. Last week, as Amanda said, we reflected on dying to the old and being born to new life in Christ. Our focus today is on what that really looks like as we come up out of the waters of baptism. So let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each one of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the history of the church, being a Christian was countercultural. Claiming Christ as Lord went against the political leaders and the occupying forces of the Roman Empire, in which Caesar was to be called Lord. Acting from a place of love and peace, as Jesus taught, was antithetical to a society where using power and violence were how problems were solved. Eating and gathering with those from different social classes, seeking to serve rather than to be served, and blessing enemies rather than cursing them made no sense. in the society of Jesus' day. And if we think about it, this is still often the case. We gravitate toward those who are like us because it's comfortable. And it's lovely to have someone do something for us. And who in our lives besides people of faith pray for their enemies? These are just a few ways that being a baptized Christian is being countercultural. A year ago, the Council of Bishops of the United Methodist Church, along with what's called the Connectional Table of the United Methodist Church, which is kind of like the church council of our whole denomination, they released a new vision statement for our church. Our mission statement prior to this, I hope you were familiar with it, was to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. With the split of our denomination, it made sense to restate our priorities as people of God. And this was done through a new vision statement, which is up on the screen. The United Methodist Church forms disciples of Jesus Christ who, empowered by the Holy Spirit, love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously in local communities and worldwide connections. As I reflected and prayed over the scripture text for this morning with all the imperatives that we are called to as disciples of Jesus, I remembered this vision statement, which really summarizes all of them and our call so well. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, emphasizes sacrifice, transformation, love, goodness, affection, honor, passion, service, rejoicing, hope, patience, prayer, perseverance, hospitality, harmony, humility, wisdom, and peace. The United Methodist Church's vision to love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously includes and encompasses all of those things. We are called as baptized Christians, as those who have been made new through water and the Spirit, through the unconditional love and redeeming grace of God, to embody these things. To love boldly means to love as Jesus loved. Jesus' love disrupted systems, crossed boundaries, and healed wounds others wouldn't touch. We've heard stories where Jesus disrupted the temple system of sacrifice, as well as the Roman Empire's system of taxation. He crossed boundaries that had been drawn between all sorts of people, between Jews and Gentiles, between men and women, between the ritually clean and unclean, and the lower class and the wealthy class, just to name a few. Furthermore, Jesus healed people others would not even go near. Lepers, bleeding or adulterous women, those near death, and those with mental illness. Loving boldly meant that Jesus sought to affirm the image of God in every person, especially those whom the world overlooks or oppresses. This means being hospitable and caring for the poor, the immigrants, the unhoused, those of the LGBTQ community, the mentally ill, and others whom we ignore or simply do not even see. Loving boldly also means recognizing the forces that oppose that love. When social or political systems bring harm to people or try to scapegoat particular groups of people, we are called as Christians to name that sin and to be present with those individuals and groups. When we love boldly, we work to change the ways that things are, to be more like God's dream of how it will be. This means that we move through each day grounded in the love of Jesus, not fearing what may feel strange or foreign or outside our comfort zone. Jesus also models for us how to serve joyfully. Jesus served others so that they might experience and see God in a personal connection. Jesus teaches us that service is not merely an act of doing something, it's an act of being fully present to one another. It might seem difficult to serve joyfully when so much around us feels broken. The church, as well as our nation and world, are experiencing division, conflict, fear, and violence in physical, emotional, and spiritual ways. We may be experiencing fatigue from all that continues to swirl around us on a daily basis. But joyful service doesn't mean pretending that everything is fine. It means trusting that the Spirit is still at work, even in the small, the slow, and the seemingly insignificant. Taking a meal to someone, listening to someone in pain, opening the door for an elder using a cane or a walker. These are all ways that we serve, even if it doesn't seem like a big deal, even if it's not flashy. Showing kindness every day is living the way of Jesus. Joyful service connects us to others and builds relationships. As Paul says in his letter in verse 5, "For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another." That means that each and every one of our gifts are important and significant. No talent, no act of service is too small to make a difference in the kingdom. We trust that God will take our offering and make use of it in ways that we may not ever see or fully understand. So much of Jesus' ministry was being present with people. And that is what he asks of us. Being faithfully present is a way that we can joyfully serve. The final piece of the United Methodist Church's mission vision statement is to lead courageously. This third part is about the visible ways that we live out our discipleship, the social holiness of which John Wesley spoke and we talked about in our revival series earlier in the summer. I said earlier that following Christ is countercultural. It's a countercultural act. We lead courageously as we speak truth to power and as we go against the status quo. When we see people in our community and world who are hurting, it's important to ask ourselves, well, how has that happened? Why do those folks find themselves in these situations? The answer often lies in economic systems, government systems, healthcare systems, and educational inequalities, which eventually lead people to live in poverty, to experience violence, to dying young and lacking skills that are needed to find work that will support them and their families. As baptized Christians, we have and continue to live in the midst of these kinds of systems, in this kind of empire, while at the same time, we're trying to bring about God's kingdom here on earth. God's kingdom is so different because it's about the last becoming first, It's about blessing the poor. It's about loving our enemies and giving up power so that the vulnerable can be cared for. This is completely different from the world's values. In our baptismal vows, we are asked about how we will engage with the world on behalf of the kingdom of God. We are asked if we will reject the evil powers of this world, if we will resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves, and if we will serve Jesus as our Lord, no one else. So that means we reject the evil of racism, of sexism, and of homophobia. This means that we resist the unjust systems that lift some people up while leaving others to simply scramble for the leftovers. This means that when we see people who are being oppressed because of the color of their skin or their class or their ability to deal with an addiction, that means that we're called to step up, and to speak out. I appreciate these words from the Board of Discipleship website about leading courageously in the public square. It says, these efforts flow from a deep spiritual truth. Our faith is not private property. It is meant to be shared through words, through presence, advocacy, and embodiment. Jesus did not keep the good news of the gospel to himself. He spoke up, not only in the temple courts, but in the countryside, in village centers, in neighborhoods, and on the streets of Jerusalem. Jesus was not the political king that people wanted. He did not come to overthrow the Roman Empire or to replace Caesar. But he modeled a way of working to establish God's kingdom on earth. And that kingdom will survive no matter who has political power or who holds political office. Jesus engaged the powers of the world through his words and actions so that other people would be transformed and work to change the systems and empires that caused injustice and oppression. And as baptized Christians, those who walk in Jesus' footsteps, we carry on that mission. Now, this is not easy work. It takes courage to stay connected to those with whom we disagree. It takes courage to remain faithful, to keep emerging from the waters of our baptism and claim our identity as a Christ follower. But that is what courageous leadership looks like. We are challenged on a daily basis with choices that we must make about where we put our resources, how we interact with one another, not just in this building, but out in the world, and what we prioritize. But we are called, as Paul says in Romans 12, verse 2, to discern what we are called to do in our daily lives. It is not just as individuals that we discern how to act. It is necessary for us to discern as a community of how to be. Ruth Haley Barton of the Transforming Center says, a community that is dedicated to spiritual transformation provides the environment in which discernment takes place. We cultivate this environment as we commit ourselves to spiritual disciplines, personally and together, that enable us to keep offering ourselves to God for the work that only God can do. Friends, we are the church, a place where we are nurtured to love boldly, to serve joyfully, and to lead courageously. A church connected and transformed by the Holy Spirit of God through Jesus Christ, whom we worship. God will continue to guide us as we discern new and faithful ways to bring about the kingdom that God envisions, and the kingdom that will be accomplished. This is the good news for us today. Thanks be to God.